Rapha, which means to heal. I am the God who heals. And that's a covenant. And he made that covenant with the children of Israel, with the Israelites. He made that covenant, and that covenant is still with us today. That hasn't changed. That hasn't changed at all. Genesis 20, verse 17. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servant, and they bore children. And that is the first example in the Old Testament of Jehovah Rapha. And God just healed. The scripture doesn't say that anybody laid hands or on Abimelech, but she was healed. And it's very interesting, significant to note that I saw this, and I just ask you to journey with me in this, and I found a lot of the healings that we have found in the Old Testament have been in women's reproductive systems. There's lots of examples. I'm going to bring some of them this morning. And I just can't help feeling that is very significant. And I know in my walk, particularly when I was in California, that women had medical issues in that department, and they would come for just a touch from God. And I released the life and love of heaven. I released the healing word over their bodies. And I can say to you with my hand on my heart, many of these women have become pregnant and had babies. And I reach out to you and I say to you now, not just about wanting babies, but if any of you here, this is for the ladies, by the way, gents, if any of you, you know, have any kind of issue, I'm absolutely, utterly, and totally convinced that we have a God in heaven. His name is Jehovah Rapha, who wants to bring healing and restoration. So I'm saying to you, and I've seen in my experience, in my walk in the last few years in Bethel, the Bethel Church in California, many women healed. I've actually got photographs and images that I will often put on a screen if I'm doing a conference somewhere of these babies, testimonies. And there's one lady who was barren. I just released the word of God over her, and she had twins. Oh, wow. Double portion, eh? But it's amazing what God will do. And I think I feel that is significant. That the very first healing that we see in the Old Testament was God healing Abimelech's womb, her uterus, and Abraham's servants too. And they all bore children. That's amazing. I just love that. I love it when I see God turning up and doing amazing things. And that is the first biblical evidence of healings in the Old Testament. That's the first one that we see. I want to turn now to Exodus 15 and do a little bit of reading from there. Exodus 15, I'm going to read from 22 down to 26. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah because they were bitter. Therefore they called the place Marah, which apparently means bitter. And the people, as people do, they complained to Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Now, what did Moses do? He was a man of God. He didn't call a committee to think about it. He just knew he had to turn to Jehovah. And he turned to God and he said, "God, your people, my people, our people, we need water. We've got water here, but we can't drink it. It's poisoned. It's bitter." Whatever that might be, we're not sure what that is. It doesn't really matter. It was undrinkable. And then God did something and said something which was really quite strange. But I'm getting used to this, and I think you are too, I hope. He said to Moses, some scriptures say, some translations say, he cut down a tree. Others say he took a stick. It doesn't really matter. Because there was a prophetic enactment here and an obedience that Moses walked in because God called Moses to do something that might seem strange. To take a stick, to take a piece of wood and throw it into the water. And when he threw it into the water was healed. The scriptures say, and the water was healed. Healing the water. A strange expression, but he's Jehovah Rapha. And he restores, and he heals, and he makes well. But what I find significant, and I want to really focus on this for a few moments, that I believe it came about because Moses heard the word of God, had his ears open to hear the word of God. He responded to the word of God. He obeyed the word of God. As crazy as it looks, as crazy as it sounds, take a stick, throw it in the water, must be joking. That's silly, isn't it? Come on, God, what do we need to do? But because he was obedient, it released the miracle from heaven. And I'm saying to us today, to all of us in this auditorium today, be obedient to the word of God to your life. And I truly believe that you'll see the heavens open up. You'll see the heavens open and you'll see the glory of God poured out. You will experience the miraculous. Because we have a miraculous God. We have a God who loves, a God who cares. A God who wants to take you into the fullness of your destiny. And you know, I really believe, and I'm saying this quite strongly, you will only walk in the fullness of your destiny if you're willing to lay down your lives for him. Yes, you've given your life to Jesus. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your will. And saying, Jesus, okay, I'm going to do the silly stuff. I'm going to take a stick and throw it in the water, so to speak. Whatever God is calling you to do. And see the glory of God turn up. I want to share with you a funny example of what happened to me when I was in Bethel. And the coffee place in Bethel is called Hebrews. Nice word, eh? That's good. It's quite funny, really. Well, I thought it was. Oh, and so did Winifred. Okay. And this, I was talking to this guy, and I can't remember what the detail was. This was a while ago. But he had some sort of emotional problem. And I was just asking God, saying, God, you know, what do I say to this man, this young man? What do you want me to say to him? And I just heard God saying to him these words. Tell him that when he leaves by that door, as soon as he passes under the lintel, he will be touched by the mighty power of my spirit, and he will crumble. I thought, that's a good word to share with somebody, isn't it? God's going to bring you to the floor. Well, sometimes God does that just to minister to us, by the way. You know that when people are prayed with, sometimes people go out. There's nothing wrong with that at all. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. And I thought, well, okay, God, I'll just speak it out. So I spoke it out. Then we finished our conversation, finished our coffee. And he left, and he left by that door. Guess what happened? And I'm telling you the truth, guys. I'm telling you the absolute total truth here. He walked through that under the, he just got under the lintel. Oh, the power of the Spirit just came upon him. And he crumbled. He didn't sort of go flat on the deck, but he sort of kind of almost collapsed to his knees. And he turned around and looked at me and he waved. You see, that was a step of obedience. Now, we can ask ourselves the question, what would have happened if I hadn't sort of ministered that to him? Does that mean to say God would have been stuck? No. God's never stuck. If we're not going to be obedient to him and do what he's called us to do, well, he'll find another that will. And he'll find a way. So don't think the release of the kingdom of God is dependent upon you or me. It's not. But it's dependent upon obedience. And he'll find people, men and women, children, kids, who are willing to just do the crazy stuff. And I've done a lot of crazy stuff in the past. I'm a little bit tempered here. I try and behave myself in this church. A wee bit. It's coming. It's being released. But I only do what I hear the Holy Spirit calling me to do. I won't do anything because I think it's going to look okay. No, no, no. It's not my heart. My heart is to bring glory to God with everything I do. And my heart is that I do that. Maybe it's not always perfect. I get that. I'm not bothered about that. Because we have a God that makes things perfect. A God who just turns things around, even when, you know, we kind of get it wrong. He turns things around. But I'm willing to step out. And I'll say this to you as well. I'm willing to look silly for Jesus. I don't mind that. I don't mind that. I mean, saying to the guy, walk through that door, and when you walk under, and he sort of looks at it, and thinks, right, you know. Thank you. And he walks under the lintel, and he just crumbles. I thought it was amazing. Yes? Well, that was one of you. I think that's pretty good. But you see, it all hinges on being obedient to his word. And Moses was obedient. And he took that stick and threw it into the water, or laid it in the water. And the waters were healed. The scripture said that the waters were healed. There was a prophetic act of obedience. And God is calling us for that too. And I'm saying this to you. I don't believe you will walk in the fullness of your destiny unless you are obedient to his word. You see, what God was wanting to do with the children of Israel at that time, he wanted to take them into the promised land. And they couldn't go into the promised land thirsty and shriveled up like prunes. Of course not. Oh no. He healed the water, cleansed the water for them. Because that was part of their journey. And you could ask the question, the scripture says that they were without water for 3 days. That's a long time, particularly if you consider it's a fairly hot climate. It wasn't like a Scottish summer, although last summer was good, wasn't it? You know, but even so, 3 days is a long time. And the scripture said that God was doing that to test them. To test them. You might think that's a bit coarse. But I've been through things too where God has tested me, and I've said, God, you haven't turned up. But he does turn up. And I'm learning that through the tough times of life and the difficult times and what might appear to be the barren times, that God does turn up. He has turned up and he will always turn up. And I want to declare that to every one of you here. Whatever you might be going through, whatever experiences you're walking in at this point in time in your life, be obedient to the word of God. Hear what he's saying to your heart. And he will take you into your promised land. Because he has a destiny and a call for each one of us.
Hallelujah.
Everyone. God has prepared beforehand that you walk in good works. And you could put your own name, instead of the word you could put your name there. That Malcolm walks in good works. He's prepared before the beginning of time. Because his heart is to love us, to care for us. He knows that we're going to mess up at times, make mistakes, get it wrong, do the wrong thing, whatever, whatever. It all happens, but he's made the way. He made the way for the children of Israel. He's made the way for us through Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lamb. I think that's pretty amazing. This is not in what I've prepared, but I want to share this with you. We have the picture, the image of the lamb that was freshly slain. And of course, that's an image of the blood of the lamb, which is the blood of forgiveness. We come to the Lord and we seek his forgiveness. It's not just saying sorry to God. Saying sorry is not enough. Repentance is turning around the other way, 180 degrees, and going back the other way kind of thing. That's the difference between forgiveness and repentance. But when John saw that freshly slain lamb, that was many, many, many years after the lamb had been slain. Just a little point here. The blood was still fresh. Can you catch that? The blood was still fresh. Hadn't gone off. Don't want to sound, you know, gross about it, but it hasn't congealed. It hadn't gone off. It was still fresh. And the good news is, it's still fresh today. And it will always be fresh until the end of time. Till God winds up this time-space world.
Amen.
And we're with him in glory. So I just share that with you to encourage you. Because that's another element of what he's created for us to be part of our journey. To take us into the promised land he has for each of us. And I give God the glory for that. And I praise him for that. Wow. It's exciting. We have a number of scriptures. Jehovah Rapha has the power to heal. But there's four different areas of healing. There is physical healing. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 10, Naaman, if I pronounce that correctly, was healed of leprosy. So there's physical healing. There's emotional healing. When we have a broken heart, we get hurt. And there could be 100 different ways which can hurt us in this broken world. But God has got the answer. He says, I will heal. Psalm 34, verse 18. Jehovah was close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. I'm sure we could all go through, there's another term I'm going to read to you in a moment. We will all have experienced some or all of these, if not all of them, at some point in time in our lives. And we feel it's a heavy cross to bear. But Jesus bore the cross for us. And he has made a way to release us from that pain. Mentally, Daniel 4, verse 34, Nebuchadnezzar raised his eyes towards heaven and his sanity was restored. Nobody laid hands on him. He just recognized the authority of Jehovah. And God just reached out and his sanity was restored. A miraculous healing, would you not say? Oh, yes. Spiritual things, too. Things going wrong in our spirit. Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget, and do not forget his benefits, who forgives all our sins. You know, when God forgives, our spirit is freed up. Our soul is freed up. And there's a lightness comes upon us. If we're bearing burdens that are not ours to bear, but then we should be handing them over to Jesus and saying, thank you. Jehovah Rapha, I am your healer. I heal. The verb. I am your physician. I'm your doctor. The noun. I just love that. This is so much a part of the heart of what God has filled me with. And I want to share too with you that there is nothing can stand in the way. Nothing can stop you from receiving the love of Jehovah. Nothing can stop you from receiving his healing love. And I hear all sorts of stuff spoken about healing everywhere I go. Well, he can't heal me because... Well, I don't see any of that in Scripture. I don't see anything in Scripture that actually holds back the love of Jehovah. If there was something that prevented that, well, then I have to say to you, I don't believe God is quite as powerful as he claims to be. Challenging word, but I'm saying to you, he is as powerful as he claims to be. And there is nothing that stands in the way. Nothing that stands in the way. Oh, well, he only heals believers. Nonsense. Well, I'm an agnostic. Great, he loves you. I'm a Muslim. Yeah, he loves you too. I've seen Muslims when I was in Africa, in Sierra Leone, a whole bunch of them. I'll tell you something funny. This is not a joke. This is a real story. And it's a very powerful testimony. We'd just been to see the president of Sierra Leone. And believe it or not, I was wearing my kilt. Now, a kilt might be fine in Scotland, but in Sierra Leone, you know, where the temperatures are sky high and it's humid, I mean, oh my goodness me, it's like, you know, walking around with a sauna on, you know? It's a bit like that. However, we had to look smart for the guy. We went into his state room and we met the guy and I had the privilege of praying with him too, which was amazing. Praise God for that. And prophesied over him. We had left his palace and we were making our way downtown in our minibus, and we stopped for refreshments or whatever, some reason or other, and we sort of kind of piled out. And this local guy looked at me, and he said, "You're Scottish." Now, he didn't say it in a Scots accent, but he said, "You're Scottish," and I wasn't going to have a big debate about, you know, my heritage. I just sort of said, "Yes, you know, forgive that, although I was born in England, but nevertheless."
hope that doesn't put you off me, you know. I'm telling you the truth. Anyway, okay, fine. I'm going to have to join another church now. Shouldn't have let that slip, should I? Anyway, I just said yes. And, you know, I just had a conversation with him. And I said to him, you have a pain in your right shoulder just there, don't you? And he said, yeah, how do you know that? I said, because Holy Spirit has just shown me. It's what's called a word of knowledge, a healing word of knowledge. I said, would you like Jesus to heal that? Oh, you know, people do look a little bit surprised when that happens, particularly if they're not used to it. And he said, yes. So I just gently put my hand on his shoulder, and he was healed. He was able to do that when before he could only do that. And he was no longer any more pain. Give God the glory for that. He was excited about it. And he's, you know, these African people tend to do a little dance, you know. Well, he was sort of jiggling around, which was quite, I couldn't do it with him. I would have looked really silly. I look silly enough in a kilt, but never mind. Helen's laughing, it's all right. So I said, look, what I'd like you to do is go and tell your friends about what God has done for you. And he said, I will. But he said, I want you to know that I'm a Muslim. I said, okay. I said, well, God still loves you. He died for you too. Oh, but our God isn't Jesus. Our God is Allah. I said, okay, let's not get caught up in terminology. I said, has Allah healed you? He said, no. I said, of all the 99 names of Allah, how many of them are love and father? He looked, none. I said, well, okay, I want to introduce you to the God who does. The God who's healed you, his name is Jesus. And his name is love and father. And he's just reached out and touched you and loved you. So I said, go and tell your friends what God has done. So what does he do? He goes and tells his friends what God has done. It was amazing. Well, what was even more amazing, he comes back with a whole party of people, doesn't he? I mean, it must have been about maybe 20, 25 people. And they sort of came back, and he points and shouts across the road, there's the healer! Can I say to you, God doesn't take offense at that, because I'm not the healer, we know that. And never, ever, ever would I put myself in that place. I carry the healer, and I release him because he's commanded us to go and heal the sick and raise the dead, cast out demons, you know the scriptures. But then you can do that too. That doesn't make me the healer. It just means I've got him inside me, and I'm releasing him, I'm letting him out, letting him go, giving him away to people. But he didn't see that subtle difference. And I have to say to you, when that happens, don't get all offended. You don't think, oh my goodness me, God's going to, you know, come down with a mighty blow. No, not at all. God is way, 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 way bigger than that. He understands these matters. And I just gently sort of put that right. I said, well, no, I'm not the healer. I said, I carry the healer. I said, the important difference there. So anyway, I went back into the minibus, not to hide. I just love this. And I said to everybody in the bus, I said, right, guys, out. I said, we've got a whole bunch of people here who need a touch from Jesus. And they sort of kind of got out. I said, come on, look a bit more lively, please. These people are waiting for Jesus. And, you know, just sort of get yourself off the seat and out there and just do the necessaries in his name. And they did. And out of that number, there were many healed. I can't quote the figure, but there was a lot were healed. Infirmities were identified by words of knowledge, and people's lives just turned around. And this guy came up to me. He said, wow, he said, I've seen incredible things today. I said, yes, because you've met the incredible Jesus. It's got nothing to do with me in a kilt. It's all about Jesus on the cross, who's now resurrected and off the cross. I said, that's the one who we give glory to. And I spoke to our team leader, and I said, hey, look, you know, we need to find a church for these guys to go to, because you lead somebody to Jesus and just sort of leave them dangling, and they'll just maybe slide back to where they've come from, bearing in mind they were all Muslims. And you know the Islamic thing about converting to Jesus, that they run risks. We all know that. So I said, they need a safe place. They need to be pastored, loved. We found a place for them, a church that would embrace them and teach them and train them. But you see, that was just a step of faith and obedience. And you don't know how much impact you will have on someone's life by just being obedient. Just by being obedient. I had no idea. It had nothing to do with wearing a kilt. Forget that. That was just a courtesy to honor the president. We had to look smart. But it's all about the Jesus. It's wearing Jesus that was important. And that was just so exciting. Sin and disobedience doesn't always cause sickness. Sometimes we can put ourselves in situations that brings on sickness and disease. Yes, absolutely. And I tell you this much, disease and sickness is not sent by God. I make that very clear to you. Absolutely not. I've heard people say, oh, well, God has sent that to teach me a lesson. Don't you ever dare think that, please. If you do, I'll take you outside and have a word with you. Because God never sends sickness. How ridiculous a thought is that? That to end the old covenant, the first covenant, blood had to be shed, and Christ, the sacrificial lamb, went to the cross. He was whipped, he was beaten. We know the story. I'm not going to have time to go into all of that. And Jesus, his blood was shed. He suffered stripes, as we call the stripes, for healing, for us. The pain he experienced was for us. And do you think that God sends sickness just so that Jesus can heal it? That's like a firefighter setting fire to his house so he can put the fire out. Crazy stuff. Just doesn't make sense, does it? Of course not. God doesn't send sickness. And he never sends sickness to, or sickness is never used by God to teach us a lesson. God has his own holy ways of doing stuff. He doesn't use the ways of the enemy. Because sickness has come out of the pit of hell. It's come about because of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. That disobedience. But God has reversed that. And that's exciting. That's exciting. Now, I want to give you some examples here of restorations that we see in the Old Testament. Forgive me, I'm going to have to read them. I can't memorize all of them. When you get to my age, you are forgiven. I hope. Genesis 20, verses 1 to 18. I'm not going to read all these out, but just give a brief, sort of sentence. God healed and opened Abimelech's womb. We've mentioned that already. Numbers 12, 1 to 15. God restored Miriam after Moses prayed. First Samuel 1, 9 to 20. Eli declared healing over Hannah's womb. She gave birth to Samuel. She cried out. She says, God, I just so want a baby. I want a son. And God healed her womb. Another example of a healing of the womb. I think that's significant. You can check that out. 1 Kings 13, 4 to 6. Jeroboam's hand was restored by an unnamed prophet. 2 Kings 4, 8 to 37. Elisha prophesied a son to the barren Shunammite woman. Now, this is a very interesting story. He prophesied to this woman. You probably know the story. I'm going to have to be brief with it. And she became pregnant, and she was married to a very significantly older man, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. But the child died from heat stroke. He died. He was out in the fields, and he had suffered heat stroke, and his brain was minced with that, and he died. And it looked as though the word from the prophet had fallen on stony ground, so to speak, had failed. So she sent word to Elisha. He came back to the house, and he did another crazy thing. He didn't just say, be healed. He sort of was lying on the child. Sounds a bit strange, I know. But he did what God called him to do. Hand upon hand, face upon face, body upon body. And the scripture says the body started to warm up. You see, it wasn't him lying on the body that kind of did it. It was his act of obedience. Do you hear that? It's the obedience that I'm talking about here. He did a crazy thing. God showed up. And the child was raised from the dead. King Nebuchadnezzar looked up to heaven and, I said, was instantly healed. Where does that leave us today? Jehovah Rapha. We've seen briefly in the Old Testament the healing love and the healing power of Jehovah. But what has God got to say about it today? Did it end? No. Absolutely. You know that. We all know that. Absolutely not. Has it continued? Yes. But what's the difference between healing in the Old Testament and healing in this New Testament now? Post-Christ, if you like. Pre-Christ, post-Christ, if you like. Well, the difference is, pre-Christ, the Holy Spirit did not dwell in the hearts of man. They did not carry the healing gift as such. But God would come upon somebody like Moses and anoint him to go and do something. And he did it, and the person would be restored and healed. Today, we all have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Do you know that you've all got the healing Spirit of Jehovah Rapha? Oh, I don't feel like it. I couldn't care less how you feel. There's a difference between your feelings and the truth. The feeling is how you feel. No one's going to, can't challenge that. But what I will do is speak over you the truth of the Word of God that says you are, you've got it. You've got Him. You've got the healer inside you. We all have. And as we are obedient to Him and we press in more and more to Him, so we receive greater levels of anointings. An anointing is the capacity, if you like, to sort of operate in that gift and call. I want to encourage you, every one of you in this room has the healing gift because you have the fullness of Christ. Colossians 2, verse 10, you have the fullness of Him in you. Ephesians 1, verse 3, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. That's a paraphrase. You've got it what it takes. And if you don't feel like that, start talking to your feelings about the truth of the Word of God. And I mean that. I'm not being unkind, but I'm being firm about it and saying to you, you've got it. The healing gift is not the private domain of an elite handful of men and women who travel the world and heal the sick and raise the dead. No, it's a universal gift for the whole church, for you and for me, every one of us in this room today. Have that. Do you know why? Because He wants us to get out there on the streets and bring heaven to earth to fulfill the word that we see here in Matthew 6. To bring heaven to earth. And it's the miraculous that causes people to turn their heads and the eyes to open. It's the miraculous that will do that. And you have the capacity to release the miraculous. I'm saying to you politely and courteously but firmly, if you don't feel you have, start talking to your feelings about the truth of the Word of God. And I mean that sincerely. I mean that with a heart of love for you. I'm speaking strongly, but I feel it passionately inside me. That you've got what it takes. Let's look at some of the scriptures. There's just a few brief scriptures, and then we're going to move on. I'm going to close. John 14, verse 9. Jesus tells us that those who have seen, He said, those who have seen me have seen the Father also. So you see, Jehovah Rapha in the Old Testament is still valid today because Jesus carries that same healing gift. He's given it to us. Can you see? I have to be brief on this. There's not time to dig into it deeply. But can you see that? Jesus says, those who have seen me have seen the Father. He carries everything the Father has. Everything the Father had, He's given to the Son. He doesn't just sort of give Him a little bit, Him a flavor. He's given Him the whole shebang, the whole lot. And you know, He's given us the whole lot too. He said, and greater things you will do in my name because I go to be with the Father. Consequence, because I've gone to be with the Father.
You will do greater things in my name.
Amen.
You see, when Jesus ascended, he didn't take his toolbox with him. He left his toolbox with you and me. We're talking about Holy Spirit here.